1 Timothy chapter 3. So who's building the church?
Jesus.
All right. 1 Timothy, what is the church? If I can think of any church that I've ever visited, that this scripture, it just radiates in my heart. Even when I first came here and I got to know Pastor Bill, I thought, wow. I sat back, and you know, I can't not brag about him. He just touched my life so much. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Paul speaking to his son in the faith, Timothy. Verse 14. These things write I unto you, hoping to come to see you shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God. Isn't it good to know that we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God? Amen. Which is the church? What is it? The house of God is the church of the living God. Okay? God's not dead. The pillar and ground of truth. I'm telling you, Abundant Life Center is a pillar and a ground of truth. All right, I'm not just talking about this building. I'm talking about you, my brother and sister. The impartations, the revelations, the way you've been fed, the way you've been nourished, the individuality of who you are as being students of the Word, of drawing closer to Him, of allowing Him to impart into you individually as well as into you corporately as a body, the revelations that have built you for this season. You were born for such a time as this. Amen. I don't care how old we are. This is our season. The rise and shine. Because we have a nation that needs to see and experience the glory of God. And I believe that's because you're going to show up. And the glory of God's going to show up. Can you say amen? So in this, I like this version here. It's a Weymouth translation. It says, but for fear I may be hindered, I now write so that you may have rules to guide you in dealing with God's household. For this is what the church of the ever-living God is, ever-living God. And it is the pillar and foundation stone of truth. Now, go with me to Mark, let's do Mark's gospel. Chapter 11, you're all familiar with that passage of Scripture, but that's not the one I'm going to talk about. Jesus said, the prophet Isaiah said it, in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, and then Jesus said it, and it was referred to in the Scriptures in Matthew 21, 13, in Mark 11, 17, and in Luke 19, 46. Mark 11, 17, if you remember, he was throwing the money changers out of the house of God. And as he taught, saying unto them, it is written. Where was it written? It was written in Isaiah 56, 7. My house shall be called of all nations. How many? All nations. In other words, they must have influenced the nations just like this house has. My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. And then he goes on and he's rebuking them. And he says, but you've made it a den of thieves. That's not who you've made it. Amen. This is a house of prayer. This is a house of truth, of the foundation of what we understand as the foundation stone of truth. And then I like this here, saying unto them, my house is the house of prayer. That's you're going to find that in Luke 19:46. He didn't say it's going to be called. He says, my house is the house of prayer. Now jump with me, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Thank God for this wonderful building, this amazing property, and just all the things that have taken place here over the years of you've experienced God's goodness, His truth, with all the miracles, all the people who have been saved and touched and healed and delivered and brought into the fullness of the Holy Spirit, all the great things that have happened. But there's more to come. Say there's more to come. Now, we're talking about the house of God, the church that God is building. He's building it by revelation. We understand that. We're talking about, he said that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. We understand that, which we are. And then we understand that he says, my house shall be called. So if it's going to be called something, it has to be that, correct? So we are, as a church, the pillar and ground of truth. We are, as a church, those that are being built by the Lord, by the revelation that we are absorbing and believing and standing in and experiencing and doing. And as we do that, he goes on to say, my house shall be called a house of prayer. So we are people of prayer. We are people that understand the dynamics of the different kinds of prayer. We are people that understand that we need to be serious in this season of time about our intimacy with the Lord in our worship, in our prayer life, in our fellowship with the Word, and our fellowship and union with each other. But in this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, I'll start. He says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells where?
In you.
Okay, so where is the Spirit of God?
If
any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? Are you, individually, are we a holy temple?
Yes.
I trust the answer is yes and amen. All right, let's just seal it there. All right, if you need to come to the altar, you're welcome. Now, in 1 Corinthians 3:16, in the Passion, it says, do you not all know that you are God's inner sanctuary and that the Spirit of God is making his home in you, which is the household of God? Huh. The Spirit of God has made his what in you? And you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you evidently are the house of God. Is that correct? Could I say that without getting stoned? As in the case, anyone morally corrupts the inner sanctuary of God, this person God will bring to the place of ruin. That's not going to be us. Say amen.
Amen.
For the inner sanctuary of God is holy, of which holy character you are. Say, I am of holy character. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. He is holy, and I am too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Say, I do not. Humor me, please help me. I do not belong to myself. I belong to him. He bought me with a price, the price of his blood. His blood purchased me. My spirit is his, and my body belongs to him. It's up to me to have my mind renewed every day. Thank you, Lord, for the washing of the water of the Word. Amen. So that's who you are. You're the church. You're built by revelation, you and me, all of us. We understand that we're the pillar and ground or the foundation stone of truth. That's who we are, not only as a church, but as an individual. We understand that we are a house of prayer, but we also are a house individually of prayer. Correct. We understand that we're not in this by ourselves. We have great help. Say, I have great help. I have the best help. He's called the Holy Ghost. He's my teacher. He's my guide. He's my revelator. He's my ever-present help in time of need. And right now, I need all the help I can get. So Holy Ghost, take over. This body, this spirit is yours. I'm your temple. You bought me, Lord Jesus, with the price of your blood. And it's precious to me. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Now, we've settled that. All right. You and me do not belong to ourselves. That means if there's anything, and I hate to tell you this, I love you, but I'll tell you the truth. If there's any selfishness left in you, it's got to go. All right. If you want to fulfill your divine purpose and hit the mark of the call, the high calling that is upon your life and upon our life, we cannot allow selfishness, the big me, to take the place of the King in our lives. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Say, we're not going to do that. Amen. We're going to be quick to repent. When he brings it to us, we're going to be quick to repent. Thank God for 1 John 1:9.
Yes.
Amen. It's still there, and I don't know about you, we'll probably need it. I know you're perfect. Still a work in progress, all right? So y'all pray for me. Now, I'd like you to go, if you would please, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Well, you know what? Let me jump ahead because of our time. Because I don't want to get stoned. Those guys worked all day yesterday. I thought maybe they hung out here all night last night, all right? I had to check on them this morning. But no, they were able to escape for a while. And I come in here and these tables are beautiful. Look at this place. God bless you, Sister Donna. Amen. Come on, get in the spirit a little bit. Humor me. I stopped last week on a scripture in 1 John chapter 5. And in that passage of scripture, if I could just review just a little bit, we talked about not feigning understanding. Will he find faith in the earth when he comes back? And for us not to be weary and faint as we pray, that we're to be praying always. We understand that out of Luke chapter 18. But in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. It's very important that you and I know the will of God. And if we know that he hears us, which we can when we're praying in the will of God, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. The Moffat translation says, now the confidence we have in him is this, that he listens to us whenever we ask anything according to his will. And if we know he listens to whatever we ask, we know we obtain the requests that we have made of him. That sounds like a faith statement, doesn't it, huh? Amen. In Young's translation, it says, and if we have known that he doeth heareth us, this old English, whatsoever we ask, we have known that we have the request that we have requested of him. Now, in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. How instant? Continuing, instant. Is instant instant or does instant take 5 minutes? Okay. I have the privilege. I'm a coffee drinker, all right? So you just have to forgive me, all right? But anyhow, I had the privilege when I first came, I found some instant packages of coffee, all right? And I'll tell you all about this, okay, just so you know what you're dealing with here. There's this Keurig, is that the little yeah. In the place where I'm staying, and I put the coffee in there, and I make these cups of coffee, and then I taste it, and I'm thinking, this isn't coffee. This is hot water colored brown. So me, in my lightning fast mind, takes the package open, of the instant coffee, cuts the package open, dumps it in. Now, this is coffee. But now, one sip and I knew that that wasn't coffee, that was dark-colored brown water. But the minute I put that package in that cup that was just hot brown water, immediately my next taste was, this is coffee. That was instant. Instant in prayer. How long should you wait when you know you need to pray? Right now. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance for all saints. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Now, as we look at that, I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. I know you're prayer warriors. I know this is a praying church. But I want to throw gas on your fire. I feel like a season I'm in here. We're going to see the best that God has for us. The best that he has for you. I'm not settling for anything less than that for you. Do you understand me? I'm going to fight the good fight of faith until we see the manifestation of what God has for this house. Because this church is moving on. We're going to be known in all the nations as a house of prayer. We're going to be known in, I believe, all the nations in which God sends us to and throughout this region as a pillar stone of truth, as a found, a ground of truth. We're going to be known that there's a revelation that we carry as a church, as an individual, and as the ministry gifts that go from into other nations from here. We're going to experience the goodness of God. We're going to experience the goodness of God in the land of the living, and we're going to help bring in the harvest of this great season in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Now, as I look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Well, that's not, you might not want to stick that on your refrigerator. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things, say all things, have fervent charity or love amongst yourselves. They're going to know us by the way we do what? Huh. How do they know us? Amen. So, and above all things, have fervent charity or love amongst yourselves. For charity shall cover love shall cover a multitude of sins. The Passion Translation says it this way. Since we are approaching the end of all things, be intentional, purposeful, there's that word again, and self-controlled, so that you can be given to prayer. Say given.
Given.
Say, I give myself to a life of prayer. For I am the house of prayer. And we are the house of prayer. Go to Isaiah 66. I'll close there. If by God's grace I can pick this up again, I will. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Randy mentioned it this morning, the importance of praying in tongues. You're speaking mysteries, and it's not that you're telling God anything that he doesn't know. It's he's trying to get secret things to you, things that you and I don't know. You know, we can pray in the Spirit. We can sing in the Spirit. We can pray in the natural. We can sing in the natural. But understand that he who prays in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. And we have got to stay edified in this season. We've got to stay built up above the circumstances, above the problems, above the situations that we all see each and every day. As you build yourself up, and the book of Jude says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And if you take that in letter form, I like it this way. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. How important is it for you and me? Because the devil would love to jerk us out of love. Because he could crash our spiritual life. Well, it ain't happening in this house. Can you say amen? I'm talking about this house right here. I'm going to encourage you to take ownership of what I just said. It ain't happening in our house. So But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Why? If you go on in the book of Jude, you'll find you're going to snatch them out of the fire. If there's ever a time the people need snatched out of the fires of hell, it's right now. If there's ever a time for the evangelistical spirit to rise up in the house of God, it's now. If there's ever a time to do the work of the evangelist, it's now. Understand, people are falling into hell right now as I'm speaking to you, but it's up to you and me to snatch them out of the fire before they go into eternity lost. Understand, you might not be the evangelist of the hour. We might not be the evangelist of the hour. We might not have a strong evangelistical spirit in this house, but I guarantee you, it's available to us. Can you shout amen? What I seen in the prayer room, I seen impartations coming. I seen impartations at different ministry gifts come in and minister to us as a church. I want you to not only hear what they're saying, I want you to catch what's taking place in the spirit. Because why? You can have impartations that take you into another level of the gifting, of the calling, of the things that are upon your life already, the dormant things, the dormant gifts that you haven't experienced yet. I believe the gifts of the Spirit will flow and operate through this body to a higher degree, that words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, the gifts of prophecy, tongues, interpretation, the gifts of faith, the gifts of working of miracles, the gifts of healing. Understand, when Brian Wills comes, I want you to not only catch what he's saying, but you catch what the Holy Ghost is doing through this man of God, because part of the ministry gift is to help equip you and me. Do you understand me? They don't have it all, but they got a container of the Holy Ghost. They got a gift, and you and I can draw it out. Put your faith out there and say, God, I want every ounce of the gifts that you have in that man. I want you to impart into me what I need to accomplish my goal, to finish my course, and to hit the mark that you put upon my life, because I'm going to serve you. I'm not going to stop. I'm going on. I'm going to be the arrow in your quiver that's going to hit the bullseye, because when it's all said and done, like Pastor Bill, well done, my good and faithful one. Hallelujah. Enter thou in. Hallelujah. Yeah. Did you find Isaiah 66? You guys are sharp. When I go back to backwoods Pennsylvania, all right, I know I'm in a big city here, but anyhow, when I go back there, I have an ordination coming up sometime in January for a young man that's going to be ordained, so I'll have to slip out sometime in January to do that. When I do, I'll just tell them. I say, guys, you're not the sharpest knife in the knife drawer. I've been with them. All right. Okay. Yeah. Amen. I like to get myself in trouble once in a while, and it'll ruffle some feathers. But what it does is it challenges them to think, well, they must have something we don't have. I'll say, yeah, they do. And that'll put them into a place in their life where they're going to go for everything that God has for them. The same way with us. We don't have it all, church, but I guarantee you, we can get more than we've ever had before. But we've got to draw close, and we've got to draw nigh, and we've got to put our ears on, keep our hearts open, to walk in love, to walk in the Spirit, and allow Him to place everything that we need in this season so that we're walking in the fullness that God has for us as a church. Can you say amen? Yes. Isaiah 66. I'll just throw this thought to you. Look at verse 8. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Question. Shall a nation be born at once? Question. For as soon as Zion travailed. Now I understand we're talking about Israel here. I understand that you and I have been engrafted into the vine. I understand that you and me, we might not have Jewish blood in us, but we've got the King's blood in us, and He's the King of the Jews. Can you say amen? So we understand we've been engrafted. So Zion, in New Testament terms, I'd say is us as well. And if we look at it, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. What's the need of the hour? To bring the harvest in. But we have got to travail. I'll get into more of that later. Because why? I believe I'm sitting with one of the greatest houses of prayer that I've ever been in. Men and women that know how to pray and bring heaven down to earth and to see the miracles and the manifestations of God's goodness to be manifested. I believe this is a house of faith. It is a house of the word. And understand that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against us. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Shane, you want to come up here and relieve me? I will be relieved. But I want to pray for these wonderful people if I could first. You know what? Catch. I know I'm weird. Just stand up if you can, please. If you can't, that's okay. Grab hands together. I want to pray for you as a family. Can I do that with you gentlemen? Because that's who we are, church. We're family. We're brothers and sisters in this thing. We all have a part. We all have grace. We all have a place. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this great family that you've allowed me to be a part in this season. I stand in covenant with them in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the precious blood that covers their heart, their life. Lord God, their households, their marriages, their families, their children, their grandchildren. Lord, I stand in the name of Jesus Christ, and we believe that everything the devil has stolen from us, it shall be paid back sevenfold. We believe and we stand strong in the covenant of your healing virtue and the quickening power of the Holy Ghost, quickening mortal bodies, filling mouths with good things, renewing youth here is stronger than the eagle, higher than the eagle. It'll soar higher than they've ever soared before. Lord, I thank you that this body, this house of faith, this house which is a pillar and a foundation stone of the truth, this house that has been built by the revelations of your word, this house that is a house of prayer, will go forth and do great and mighty things in the name of Jesus, will be a major part of bringing the harvest in of this generation, and will reflect the image and the glory of God everywhere they go. Father, I'm asking you to seal them now by the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And Father, that you will impart into them everything that is missing and stir up the gifts that are dormant. And Lord God, give them boldness everywhere they go, that they will radiate with the hope of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I bless them in the name of Jesus.